11 minutes to 10. Nick Quinn has joined me 10 minutes early for the verdict because there's been a big go for one of the hay stable at Mowi tomorrow, and we're about to have a chat to JD, so JD can illuminate us as well. Bouffant, big go for one tomorrow at the Mow.
Have the stinger ready after this one. Salutes, hopefully. Race 2, number 6 tomorrow. The stable taking just the one runner to the program. Went up $6, bang, backed all the way down to $3.80. The favourite at that quote. This will be a third career start tomorrow. Hopefully, it's third time lucky.
JD's old man's a bit of a punter. I wonder if JD's had a bit of a crack at Mowi tomorrow. How are you, JD?
Hello, yeah, thank you for having me.
Tell us about the one at Mowi tomorrow. The punters are all over it, apparently.
Well, that's always a good sign. It's better than drifting in the market, that's for sure. But, no, she's put the form on the wall, third up, got a good gate. Hopefully, the punters are right.
Terrific. Mate, I was fascinated to look from afar at the daily activity up at the Gold Coast, and you're hearing reports of a lot of staff reductions at restaurants and pubs and so on, and that's obviously affected the racing industry as well. And the sale went underway, a terrific success. I think there's some concern about some COVID activity as well. But it just looked a fascinating week. You were up there from Tuesday, I believe. What was it like for you?
Yeah, I arrived Tuesday. I was late on the scene because I spent Christmas with mum and dad over in Hong Kong. So because I did that, I had to spend 14 days before I could enter Queensland. So I arrived there on the day of the sale. The team up there did a fantastic job in Ben, Grace, Dave Picello, Dean Hawthorne, Tommy Ryan, Jenny McAlpine. They really worked hard, and I thought we bought well.
Tell us the difference at the moment. Everyone's fascinated with where everyone's at with COVID and Omicron and so on. What was the experience like in Hong Kong, socially and racing-wise, compared to when you arrived at the Gold Coast?
Hong Kong was incredibly... They're an incredibly disciplined people, and they're obviously very well policed. They're law enforcement, so you couldn't go a stride outside without a mask and checking in everywhere. But Gold Coast, everyone was wearing masks to a certain extent. They were wearing masks inside, but it was sort of business as usual for the Gold Coast. It wasn't too bad.
JD, I dare say last week would be one of the busiest weeks on the racing calendar and probably one of the more exciting times as well, with all the new rising stars entering the stable. How difficult and stressful is this week, though, for the entire team then having to sell those shares and hopefully get some new owners involved?
No, it is. It is an incredibly stressful time when you're specking at that money, but we've got a really good team back home where when we bought a horse, we put it up on a landing page, got it out on social media, and we're able to move the shares quite quickly. So of the 14 horses that we spec, we've only got an equivalent of one horse left to sell down. So the team's done a tremendous job.
Do you sort of have target marketing as well? So you know that certain people like taking a tiny share in one and spending a fair bit on that share, and you might say to them, we've got a good one for you, and that sort of helps move them out the door quickly?
No, absolutely. Trying to get an idea of what the buyer wants so you can fit that order definitely makes it easy to sell. So we spend a bit of time doing pre-sales calls, and we send out an email where people can fill out their form. And the Magic Millions is only the start of a long sales year. So if there's people out there that still would like to buy a certain type of horse, feel free to get in contact because we'd love to buy it for you.
JD, the stable has, obviously it's very well known that it's been reduced. Obviously a lot of that's got to do with the departure of your dad and Tom and so on. I saw Ben do a little to-camera video from up there as well, talking about one of the yearlings and syndicating it and so on. Is it, in a marketing sense as well, with you guys obviously being young and it's not exactly starting from scratch, but you're pitching to probably a slightly different demographic than your dad did with, you know, Sheikh Hamdan not there anymore and some of the big clients. Are you having to pitch to a new client base almost now?
No, absolutely. Dad had the luxury. We're a completely different beast to Dad. He was a very successful trainer in that he was already stamped in the Hall of Fame, and Ben and I, with a great team around us, are out to prove ourselves. So we're definitely targeting a different sort of demographic to fill our orders.
Is it a younger demographic? You guys are both young. Are you automatically inclined to a slightly younger generation?
No, we're feeling the love across everyone. Everyone's been very happy to support us. We've got a lot of established owners that are very loyal to us, and they've been buying in. I was more talking about that we don't have a shake, that we're able to go and buy the big loss. But Yeah, we've got a great array of owners from young to old to small to that only want small percentage who take big percentages. So we've got a very good diverse group of owners that is really helping us at these yearling sales.
So you probably don't have the ultimate big muscle that that your dad had, Sheikh Mohammed, and then in the earlier days, certainly the Sangster family and so on. So how difficult is it? I mean, it's a bit of a billionaire's playground. A lot of it is very hard to relate to. How difficult is it for young guys like you to try and pick your mark through a sale like that?
Well, I think Ben and I are quite lucky. I think there's a lot of people that find it harder than us, so we're very lucky that way. But I'll tell you what's very fortunate is that the horses don't know their sale price, and it doesn't necessarily mean they can't run if they go for cheap money. So that's the beautiful thing about this sport. You can enter at any market and you're on an equal playing field.
Well, two sets of owners that would have been very, very happy on Saturday after getting the job done nicely at Flemington were those of Dark Dream and Nicole Vito. Two very impressive wins. You must have had a spring in your steps Saturday night. What did you make of those two victories, and where do they both head to next?
They were two very good victories. For the Huang family, they were very patient for Dark Dream. They had to wait since 2019 for him to get a victory, but hopefully that's the start of a few. And he's got a lovely race at Caulfield in a few weeks' time, Benchmark 100, 1800, which looks a lovely race for him. And it was lovely to get a winner at headquarters for the Devon Gordon family. They are our most loyal owners. They've been racing with the family for 40 years, and they've known Dad since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. So for them to have a nice progressive horse to stay was great, and he's going to head to the same meeting at Caulfield in the 78 mile. I think he'll appreciate the extra distance.
They haven't been the backbone of the stable because there's been other big clients, but David Gordon is probably the combination most linked to your stable for, as you say, for, I'd say, 40 years, JD.
No, absolutely, and they've grown to family friends. We've gone on many a ski holidays with them, and every time we train a winner, it's just an extra icing on the cake.
So you go skiing all day, and then you have a couple of drinks next to the fireplace, and then you talk them into a few more horses, and
that's when JD
going.
Goes to work. That's when JD seriously goes to work.
Well, to be fair, I haven't been on a ski holiday for a long time, and when we were, I was at the hot chocolate drinking stage. I wasn't at the wines yet.
I used to do one slope, hot chocolate, one slope, hot chocolate. I could never put two skis in together.
Was hot chocolate code for red wine with you?
No, it was hot chocolate back in the day. Hey, JD, I just want to ask you about it was interesting before the Magic Millions, and it was sort of, I felt for your brother when they scratched the family-owned horse from the Rich Maiden race too. Like they crossed to Ben, who I've never seen curse in his life, but they got him mid F-bomb, which was quite amusing.
No, I think he said duck. He didn't cross.
Yeah, no, it was definitely duck. He was cursing some random duck that was up there.
Like the autocorrect on the phone.
Hey, 5 minutes before the running of the Magic Millions, Channel 7 put up a graphic, and it showed the purchase prices of 7 of the last 10 winners of the Magic Millions Classic, and most of them, every single one was under 160 grand. Curata Queen was 30 grand. JD, as much as it's a hard sale to play at because there's so much money and heavy hitters and so on, the middle to lower bracket of the sale is almost the most value for money, isn't it? Is that the way you guys attacked it last week?
No, absolutely. That's what I sort of touched on before, with that the horses don't know their sale price. And that's the beautiful thing about our game, that any just because they went for 30,000 doesn't necessarily mean that they can't run. So we've definitely found of the 14 horses that we bought, 12 of them were in between that 100 to 200 range. Because that's where we like to, from where we can spec, as where our company's at, that's what we can afford. But I think that's the most profitable range, as you touched on. So we're happy to play within that 100 to 200 range.
Yeah, because the million-dollar plus ones have got such a bad record, you may as well just attach a cart to them when they get home. So
don't say that.
Hey, what was it like socially? Quinny was up there with his family last week, and I heard from a lot of people up there, JD, that there was still the COVID cloud was still had a presence there, and obviously staffing at restaurants and other places were really stretched. What was the vibe like generally at the Gold Coast, not necessarily at the sales complex?
The general vibe was pretty good still. Like, it's terrific weather and you're getting up there and you're on the beach, so you can't help but get excited. But the nightlife definitely was down about 25%. And you could just see how COVID's had its effect up at places like the Gold Coast that thrive on tourism, and they've had the whole country and the world locked out. You can see a few stores shut down, but I'm sure once we get over this little hump of this new outbreak and we're able to move on, I'm sure it will get back to normal.
We've only got 60 seconds, but just a quick one. There's been a lot said about the staff crisis, the skills crisis in racing with track riders and so on, and there's no 457s and no backpackers, and all these issues have combined. And now we've got the issue with COVID as well, with people being, you know, standing to stand themselves down when they test positive. How has the COVID aspect of the skills crisis, on top of the skills crisis, affected Lindsay Park?
We're actually, the one blessing was that when we were slowly declining in horse numbers, it matched our staff levels, but we're bouncing back up. We're starting to feel the pressure that everyone else is at where these staff are. And we've invested in a couple more treadmills. They can work 24/7, so they're quite handy. But we also tried creating a Lindsay Park riding school, which is up and running. So we're trying to develop our own and have track riders come through, and so they can work from just being a ground person to potentially a rider. So we have extra tired horses that we use for that. But that's the only avenue that I can see forward, that we need to invest in something like that as an industry to try promote these skills. And there are some great courses out there.
JD, we've loved having a chat. Before we go to the 9 o'clock news, can you leave us with a winner anywhere across the nation in the next week?
I think the punters have it right with Shalom Princess on Tuesday.
Oh, hopefully you're right, JD, because, you know, 2021 was a bit expensive for Quinny and I. We need to bounce back, so no pressure. Hey, good on you, mate. Lovely to have a chat. Good luck with the babies you bought at the Magic Millions, and best of luck through the early part of the summer, spring, autumn carnival.
Thank you very much.